There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right. Sorry. Hold on. Note to self. All right. Okay. And sorry, I'm making a note to myself to find somebody more deserving than me to offer up a prayer, light a candle here to have Governor Ivey talk about high-stepping turkeys again this coming Thanksgiving. Please, please, please. I can say please, but I got to find one of y'all that's way more pious than I. Probably way further up the list. If you could pass that along, I'd appreciate that. Just. It's for all of us. It's not just self-serving. I think it's all of us. It's legitimate to ask for, to have the governor address that. Speaking of Governor Ivey in Paris right now for the Paris Air Show, we'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. George Talbot, we'll ring him up. He is in Paris after day one of the air show. All right, to the phones and to the text line. And first, Tara in Mobile. Hey, Tara.
Hey, good morning. I'm glad you gave me time because I could write it out, so I'll be quick, all right?
Okay.
My big gripe with this is its non-disclosure. We still do not know from whom we are buying or actually how much it's going to cost or how long it's going to go on. In other words, if we can't even have a vote about who it is that can suspend licenses and non-renew tags, why not just go ahead and call ourselves a communist, i.e. uninformed regime, and forget the doggone socialist step in labeling? My most important point is that this proposal, I'm not against the bridge per se, but this proposal is a private government equivalent paid for at public slave wages by overtaxation of our local population again.
There we go. All right. And you're launching your campaign?
I'm not at all, man. I'm just, I got too much on my plate already. I'm just a local gal, you know? I mean, I've done local stuff. I was born here. I'm still doing stuff here. I love Mobile. I moved back to Mobile because I love it, and that's the only reason. And I think this is a serious mistake.
I appreciate the call. And, you know, I asked that question last hour of State Senator Chris Elliott. And I, in deference to him, you know, he was about to say something. I wanted to make sure, because I can imagine being, you know, in that position. You go in meetings and this is on the record, this is off the record. That's something that I take, you know, pretty darn seriously myself. You know, people talk to me and I give my word and I keep my word. And that's why people still give me information, right? Too many people in this business, let's say media in general, end up getting willy-nilly with stuff. Now, I always tell somebody, I said, if you're going to tell me something that is somebody's going to get hurt or something like that, or, you know, you've done something to hurt or somebody's hurt somebody, then I'm going to out you. But other than that, until the time is right, I can hold on to it. I know that seems to be, Senator Elliott was saying that it was the private capital was coming from a group of multi-used, and we can go back, you can listen to the podcast last hour, waiting for you over there at fmtalk1065.com. Click the podcast tab, or better yet, we'd love you to subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, iTunes for your iPod, Stitcher if you're an old Luddite like me and using Samsung Galaxy. If you're an Android person, Stitcher works great for us. Also, Spotify, where you get your music. Our podcasts are at Spotify, and they're at TuneIn Radio, where you stream our station, which the streaming is back up. Great news this morning. But if you go listen to the last hour, I think the quote, and I'm going to paraphrase or I'm going to attempt to quote here. I think State Senator Chris Elliott said a multinational group of builders and developers. Something I'm close there. You can go listen to the podcast. It was segment two of last hour. I think that's what he said, that are putting up the money. So multinational. Yep, that's more than one nation, right? Okay. Builders and developers. And he said they have done this before. Now, we could probably do some Google searching if, you know, there may be only a handful of companies that fit that description or that have done this before, done something like this before, maybe find out who it is. But yeah, it's a, the question is, like I talked about last hour, maybe there's not, and in all due fairness, maybe there's only one group out there that can do something like this. But it's all about, you know, talking to folks and getting that information out. If that's true, I mean, we, like I said, there's so many different nuances to this discussion. But let's say we're talking about, we're going to say the toll's going to happen and this private entity is going to be involved. Let's go. We're choosing that make your own adventure right now. All right. I think it is fair to ask how the bidding process took place. And it may come back, the piece of information we don't know may come back and say there is only one company in the world that can do this. Okay. I want to know that. Or did we not have an open bidding process? Could somebody have made a better deal? Maybe not. Maybe not in this. But you have a situation like Tara was talking about. I think it's 55 years of the toll, and it can rise with like CPI, can with the cost of inflation. Part of that is, so there's so much of this, and because I've read so much and talked to so many people on this, that I it's scattered in approach, because there's at every turn there's another fork of the road. Another part of this is, for the tolling, for the deal of having the tolling, the way I understand it, they will do maintenance and improvement on the structures for those 55 years. Well, if I'm Aldot, maybe that's a motivation for me. I don't know this, but if I'm Aldot and I said, okay, wait, I take this doesn't go on my books long term. In other words, we don't have to have part of our budget go to service this bridge, let alone build it, right? Build it and then the expanded bayway and the lanes going, you know, up through Baldwin County. They may say, okay, I can get this off my books, not only on the build, but for 55 years, we don't have the road maintenance for that. That will be on the private concessionaire. Maybe there's a motivation there to do that. Maybe that's where it's going. Once again, you have to put maybe in front of all these because we don't know. But I think what Tara said is fair to ask. You know, we're a representative republic, and you don't have to like the outcome, but you should be able to know how the process worked. And was this something that said, here's the project, we're looking for, you know, whatever companies fit this bill would like to, you know, like to bid on this project, here we go. Y'all got 60 days or something like that. Was it done like that? Phone line 343-0106 also works on the text line to the phones, and David in Mobile.
Sean, I'm going to provide you a little bit of an answer to that question.
All right, good.
You know,
I'm glad you're here.
You know my ability to recall obscure information off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember several years back, the Aldot held a kind of like a conference or a meeting or something at the convention center downtown, where everybody that was interested in doing the project came and got information about it. And then they developed teams, and I think there was like five or six teams originally that were selected, and then it was narrowed down mm-hmm. to the three that are currently left in the bidding process. So that's how that process came about. So it was kind of
we could go get that name.
Wanted to do it, but you were selected based off your ability as not only to build it, but also get secure the finance.
That's part of the deal, right? You got to be able to do it, and you got to be able to have the cash to do it. Do we have the? If can you go do a search of your internal archives in your brain, or Google it and find out what companies were present at that?
I can probably Google it and find out, but it'll probably take me 24 to 48 hours to get back to you with that information.
Wait. What are you using? Dial-up? What's up, man?
No, it's just I got things to do, and I'm also following the Paris Air Show this week, too.
Yeah, I mean, but that doesn't take all the time. You Google it. You Google it right now, and then as soon as you get something, send me a link.
Will do.
All right, there we go. See, that's what I like. That's the will-do attitude. That's what we need out of the FM Talk 106.5 audience. That's for sure. Speaking of the Paris Air Show, come back from the break, check in with George Talbot. He's there at the Paris Air Show with the city of Mobile, that's there with the state of Alabama, representing, trying to get some more business, trying to get some other companies in here. Be interesting to see what he's seen so far in day one. We'll be right back. Talk to him next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. And today, first day of the Paris Air Show. Big deal for Mobile, other cities in the state as well, and the state at large. So let's find out what's happening on day one in Paris. Let's check in with the Director of Communications and External Affairs for the City of Mobile, George Talbot, who external, that's probably right, as the Mobile contingent and others from the state of Alabama are in Paris for the air show. Hey, George.
Hey, Sean, great to be with you.
Hey, good to have you on and kind of bringing us up to date. I know it's evening time there in Paris, but today was, I guess, the official day one of the Paris Air Show?
That's right. The big air show kicked off this morning. Most of the folks from Mobile and the Alabama delegation arrived over the weekend. And, you know, yesterday it's a lot of kind of game planning going over the plan of attack for when we hit the ground running this morning.
Yeah, it's. I know that the contingent from around the state, and especially Governor Ivey there as well, make it a case, I'm sure, for more businesses to come to our neck of the woods, but also I know there's other parts of the state that are vying for their share of the pie.
You're right. It is a highly competitive industry. Huntsville's here in force. Huntsville has an annual event on the eve of the air show, in this case last night at the Eiffel Tower, you know, draws all the major companies, draws all the dignitaries who are here. There's a big delegation of U.S. senators. And so tonight is the Mobile reception, and Mobile is really emerging as, you know, one of the most popular events at the air show. So I think we'll see the same thing tonight.
Now, is that because y'all hauled over some seafood from here, or how is it?
When in Paris, we'll have French food, and there definitely will be an Alabama touch to the event, though. And it makes for a long day. We've, you know, been out at the air show, which is at Le Bourget Airfield, which is just outside of Paris, and it's always kind of a big logistical push to get out there, trains, buses, all the above. Most of us just got back. We're it's evening time here, about 5. And we'll get cleaned up and get over to the reception, the Mobile reception, which starts here later this evening.
Yeah, and talk to me about that. So Mobile, I would imagine by now, with the time at the Paris Air Show and, of course, with Airbus, a known commodity over there. So what do – and if that's not correct, then correct me on that. And then beyond that, can you elaborate on when – at these receptions – is there any real business being done, or is it just rubbing shoulders? I mean, do they come in and say, I'm looking for a facility to do X, Y, and Z? I mean, how does it work?
Yeah, it's all the above. Like so many things, it's all about relationships. It's a chance to just be together, to connect. I think most of our team, which is led by the Mobile Area Chamber of Commerce, but we're also represented here by the Mobile Airport Authority, the Port Authority, the city, the county, some of our different utility companies are here. You know, everybody's got their contacts, the relationships they're building and have built over these years. So it's that moment to kind of bring everybody together. You know, things happened such as last year in Farnborough, the outgoing CEO of Airbus, Tom Enders, came and spent, you know, significant amount of time. Well, the message that sends for all those supplier companies that are wanting to do business with Airbus, the chance to have an audience with the CEO of Airbus is very powerful to mm-hmm. them. So it's a draw. So we'll see that. We'll see a lot of those companies tonight. And, you know, Mobile is where once was pursuing a lot of these companies. We're now being pursued by them.
Yeah, I know, and definitely on the map, as Mayor Simpson has talked about in the past. What is it? We're on track to be the third or fourth, I mean, biggest global aircraft manufacturing center?
That's correct, in the world, behind Toulouse, France, which is where Airbus headquarters is, Hamburg, where they also have a major aircraft production center, and then Seattle, Washington, where, of course, Boeing builds its airplanes.
Mobiles. Never heard of them. Never heard of that last
Moving
one.
Moving up the list fast.
I never heard of that last one. Okay, so when you're talking about the suppliers to Airbus, I get that. And that's something we've talked about over the years, you and I have, about getting more of those people in here, more of the, you know, you get land the whale here with Airbus, and then you get the bigger fish come in around them. What about competitors? Is that, you know, think about it, if I open up a gas station, a lot of times somebody open up a gas station across the street from me kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Does that happen in aerospace, or do you see that elsewhere?
Absolutely. It is. As competitive as an industry as you'll see anywhere. Boeing, of course, is a major employer in the state of Alabama. They have more than 4,000 employees in North Alabama in the Huntsville area. So we have had some interest from Boeing in participating in some of these events. And while we are on Team Airbus, at the end of the day, we're here to recruit jobs. And so we talked about that a lot, the right kind of posture to take. Boeing is had a rough go of it mm-hmm. of late. That's one of the big stories at this year's air show, are the struggles they're having. And Airbus, on the other hand, you know, announced a major order of new airplanes this morning. And, you know, things are going very well for them.
Yeah, I know, with, you know, and I often point that out, even though we kind of have, I'm saying me, have this kind of Mobile Baldwin County focused view, and I think Airbus, but yeah, Boeing from North Alabama to the Wiregrass, they have a presence in our state, and I know that's probably, you got the Huntsville contingent with having probably more Boeing meetings than the Mobile contingent. I saw some other names up here. Something came out from one of the trade groups, I think Made in Alabama, said companies on Alabama team meeting schedule include United Launch Alliance, Raytheon, GKN Aerospace, Carpenter Technology, and GE Aviation. So, I mean, it's some pretty big names. Anything you can tell us about them?
Those are the big ones for sure. I actually saw the governor and some of the state entourage on their way to meet with Raytheon just earlier today. So governor's out here working hard. She kind of pulled everybody together from across the state yesterday morning, kind of gave us her game plan and gave us our marching orders, which are to get out there and recruit these jobs. So she kind of sets the tone. And Alabama, yeah, we can get kind of focused on the success Mobile is having, which is tremendous and really being noticed around the world, what Airbus is doing with the acquisition of the Bombardier plane. But when you look at what the aerospace industry is doing across our state, it is really an amazing story.
Just joining us, talking to Director of Communications for the City of Mobile, George Talbot, there at the Paris Air Show with the Mobile portion of the delegation. You mentioned senators as well, because you just mentioned the Alabama contingent, but I think I saw a picture of both Senator Jones and Shelby.
Both were there this morning, and we expect to see them both tonight at the reception. Senator Shelby comes every year, usually brings several of his friends, as he did again this year, and that's another powerful part of the recruiting.
I mean, head of appropriations. I'm just saying, head of appropriations. Mike, he's that on his card, hands it out. Hi, Senator Richard Shelby, head of appropriations. Here you go.
That's a nice thing to be able to have as part of our recruiting strategy.
Now, this is just George and Sean talking. So, did you get to see anything today? Or were you always in meetings, or did you get to see any flying going on?
Yeah, since the first time I've come to one of these air shows, I love airplanes. I love the kind of a aviation geek, and so you are kind of running from meeting to meeting. Oftentimes, you're just hearing them flying above your head, but all day long, they're having the different flying displays. And then out on the runway, they have lots of different aircraft out on display. Everything from the, you know, latest cutting edge jet fighters and military aircraft to private jets, Gulfstream jets, to the really big planes like the A380. So if you're into airplanes, it is, you know, the place to be.
Yeah, I guess this is one of those scenarios, too, at Paris, you know, or at Farnborough. You have a chance of being on the shuttle bus or walking in line next to somebody from anywhere on the planet, probably.
Yeah, all the leadership of all the companies are here, the executives You know, governors, all our competing states are here. Alabama has a great booth set up inside the air show, but with, you know, so does Florida and Mississippi, and I saw my old home state, Arkansas, is, while they haven't always had a big presence, they've really stepped up. So everybody's here battling for these jobs.
And then there's the other side, the buyers, right? There's people there that are looking to buy new military aircraft or private aircraft for their company or their country.
That's correct. And you'll see a steady stream of those orders being announced over the loudspeakers during the course of the day. And, of course, those are getting out on social media as well. So far, the tally is Airbus is on top. Boeing's, you know, having to answer a lot of tough questions because of the struggles they're having with the 737 MAX. And but Boeing's, you know, not only a major American company, they'll get it right. I think that's the storyline, is just, you know, what they're doing to get things corrected. But in the meantime, Airbus, everything's kind of going their way at this moment.
All right. Well, good stuff. I appreciate the update, and I'm going to bother you back, you know, probably when you're trying to get to sleep in the evening some night this week to get an update later on.
Yes, there's not much sleeping going on, so happy to talk anytime.
All right. George Talbot from the City of Mobile checking in live from Paris. Thank you.
Thanks, y'all.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
By the way, coming in traffic info here. It's a nice way to set up and segue in our conversations. I-10 eastbound at the Wallace Tunnel. Slow down right now on a Monday. It's not a Thursday or Friday. On a Monday. Lord knows what it is. It could be one of four or five different things causing it. But right now, delays I-10 eastbound. All right. Phone number 343-0106. 343-0106. Plus, I want to remind you of how you can listen to us on your smartphone. Obviously, by the numbers we get, lots of you are doing it. And I appreciate that, but I want more people to be aware. So, I mean, it's like every weekend somebody says, man, I want to do it, but how do I listen on the phone if I'm in the boat or something? Okay, so it's TuneIn Radio. TuneIn Radio. The word tune and in mashed together for TuneIn. Second word, radio. And there is a premium level. They'll try to get you, like they should, because they're private business trying to make money. There's a premium level you can go to, but I'll tell you right now, I run the freemium version of TuneIn Radio, and it's been great. It's been bulletproof for me for all these years. I think I've been running it for six years, seven years, something like that. By the way, I mean, the station's 10 years old now, so I mean, a lot of stuff's back in the dark age. I think six, seven years for that app. It's called TuneIn Radio, and it lets you stream the station wherever you go. So when you get there and load TuneIn Radio, just hit local radio, and you'll see FM Talk 106.5, and you can go from there. All right, grab some phone calls at 343-0106, and let me say thank you again to George Talbot. We'll check back in with him throughout the week live from the Paris Air Show. Captain Doug checking in from Fairhope. Hey, Captain Doug.
Hey, Sean, Dalton, how you guys doing today?
Good time, man. Good to hear from you. Long time no hear.
Yeah, well, I try to keep my mouth shut unless I got something worth saying, and a lot of times it's always, you know, when he listens to myself. So, hey, look, this federal funding money that debacle, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word, Mississippi is widening I-10 for God knows how many miles now. Florida has widened I-10 through Pensacola and on past Avalon Beach for, you'll see tolls over there.
Right, about, I mean, there's tolls in Florida,
ago,
but...
About 50 years ago, and I made mention of this before, when the Wallace Tunnel was put in, they went to the city and the state, everybody was told, well, you're doing it wrong, you're not thinking 50 years into the future. So here we are, 50 years in the future, we have to have this new super improved highway system to handle the flow of traffic. Now we want to talk about doing a private entity to do it. He's going to maintain it, or this group conglomerate will maintain it for the next 55 years. Mm-hmm. Well, in 55 years, where's that put us? It puts us right back where we are today, except 55 years down the road. we're going to have to go back into it again and address future road concerns.
Yeah, we're going to be teleporting, Doug. Doug, by then we're going to be either teleporting, or using jetpacks by then.
Yeah, and you know, teleporting or jetpacks, but you're going to have something out there, relay stations or something to scramble your atoms across. But you follow my point.
Right.
You follow my point. You know, both sides of us, both states on both sides of us can do it without tolling. We can't seem to do it without tolling. And here we are 50 years after this debacle was built in the first place, and now they want to put private funding into it and continue on down the road. So I'm going to have to call all this stuff about the government and private funding. I got to call Hooey on that. But there's something wrong there. Something
there you
seriously
go.
Wrong.
I appreciate the call, and leaves line open at 343-0106. By the way, too, Doug mentioned the Bankhead. I think we did, Dalton, we did this math last week or the week before, because the final toll, by the time they ended the toll on the Bankhead, it was a quarter, I think it was 25 cents. We said, okay, what would be, with inflation, what's a quarter? Now, I think it was like $1.62, $1.82 or something. I wonder if that number right there, $1.62, if that would not come in and be a number that people would agree to on the toll. It'd be interesting to see, even though it was a quarter, you know, at the end of the tolling for the Bankhead back in the 70s, right? It was a quarter, but that's now worth about $1.62. What would that mean? So if the toll was $1.62, would people say, okay? That's an interesting number to see kind of what was tolerated back then and what will be tolerated going forward. Right. We'll get to the... Actually, we may not even have time this morning or this evening, this afternoon. Pick a time of day, Sullivan. This afternoon to get to this story, but if not, we'll get into it tomorrow because it still will have legs. And I think more people will be talking about this president signing on to Senator Dayne's flag burning amendment. And we'll get to that here if we can in this show. If not, we'll do it tomorrow morning. Let's go to Charles in beautiful Seminole, Alabama. Hey, Charles.
Hey, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I just thought I'd bring up something that people hadn't thought of, and that is, according to the global warming folks, we've only got 12 years anyway, so they better not fund that thing out too far, because it won't ever get paid for, according to the global warming folks.
Why don't we do it on a bubble? Why don't we do a balloon loan and push it?
I think that's a good idea. Have the balloon note due after... after 12 years, say 13, 14 years.
There you go.
And only make interest payments on it.
That's right. Yeah, only service the interest, and we'll just, you know, in 15 years, we'll pay that big balloon note.
All right.
Thanks, Charles. Appreciate it, man. Let's go to my buddy Tony in Sims. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
Yeah, good, man. What's happening on the west side? What's going on in Sims?
Well, I can't tell you right now. I'm on the payway, but I'll be back at Sims this evening, and hopefully it'll still be there.
Right.
I got a question, and I'm sure you probably answered it a dozen times, but I haven't heard the answer to it. I-2059 in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. It's a similar in scope and size project, similar price tag, not exactly the same, but there's not going to be any tolls there.
Right.
Yet we've got tolls down here to pay for the bridge. Other than the fact that a lot of the state doesn't think anything exists south of Montgomery, why are there going to be tolls here, not in Birmingham?
Right. So, and I'll say this: I'm not trying to. I'm just. Talking facts here. So that, and I agree with you in the essence of this. It's a question a lot of us have asked, why that deal's done there. We're different. But I will argue that our project has blossomed, has fattened up into quite a lot more than the Birmingham project. I think is $800 million thereabout. And ours is now just a projection. They hadn't done anything. And it's $2.4 billion. So I think they're arguing that there's not enough budget to do that. $2.4 billion, they're saying on this one. On the essence, I completely agree with you. I get where you are on it, but I do want to say that this one's gotten bigger. And I want to say thank you to a bunch of folks on the text line, Steve and David and others that did some Googling work while I was talking. Thank you very much. And Steve had walked through here some of the groups of I'll tell you what, we're going to do this backwards. I'm going to go to what David sent me, then I'll go to what Steve sent me. So David sent me a link to exactly what I was looking for. Thank you, David. Lawrence Becker article from AL.com from August 28th of 2017. Okay? So the time machine here, just hop in the DeLorean. Here we go. All right, so Lawrence Becker's story says this. As 400 businesses, finance, and governmental officials gathered Monday to discuss the proposed I-10 bridge project over the Mobile River, key questions about the design, scope, and financing of the project remain unanswered. But ALDOT leaders expressed confidence about the process that they expected to bring the solution. Right. Vince Calametti, Regional Transportation Director for the Alabama Department of Transportation, said the industry forum being held Monday and Tuesday at the Arthur R. Outlaw Mobile Convention Center was intended to provide an opportunity for construction firms, design firms, and financiers to network on the project. All right, so we created the place for them to rub elbows, right? And that, so it goes back to his story. He said, ALDOT's goal, Calmetti and others said, is to foster the development of several teams that will compete to build the bridge. By the end of the year, he said, ALDOT expects to have selected three such teams to move into the next stage. See, this is great information. Thank you. Thank you, David. Backers say the bridge is necessary. Okay, there's the kind of stuff that we all know now. Okay. In the next step of the process, which will take most of 2018, ALDOT will work with all three teams as each develops its bridge design, its construction plan, and its proposed financing arrangements. In late 2018, ALDOT will award contracts to the winning team, meaning the construction could start in early 2019. When is it? Where are we? Oh, it's June 20. Okay. A 4 to 4.5 year long construction window means the bridge could be open for business by 2023. The basic outline of the process is clear enough, but it leaves some of the questions of keen public interest unanswered for now. Among them, will the bridge include a bike pedestrian lane? That was the number one question back then. That was the number one question. Little did we know. Will a toll be implemented to help pay for the project's cost? Bet I could answer that one. And how will the bridge actually look? Will travelers sweep all the way across Mobile Bay on a new and improved bayway, or will the bridge connect to... Okay, this is... And it goes into all the looks and all that stuff. Then he goes on to say, broadly speaking, ALDOT expects answers to those questions to emerge over the course of the next year. Remember, y'all, if you're just tuning in, this is a AL.com story from Lawrence Becker in August of 2017. Until those take shape, ALDOT Transportation Director John Cooper said, even a ballpark cost is unknown. Here's the quote. I've seen estimates anywhere from $800 million to about $1.8 billion, depending on how much you do. So there's the range, y'all. $800 million to $1.8 billion. What are we up to now? $2.4 billion. Okay. Like I said, these things grow. Goes on to say, ALDOT would like to see an improved bayway stretching all the way to Spanish Fort with more lanes and enough elevation to avoid being demolished by a storm surge the way similar causeways in Pensacola, Biloxi, and New Orleans were wrecked by Hurricanes Ivan and Katrina. Calmetti goes on to say, our ultimate goal is to provide four lanes eastbound, four lanes westbound that meet the 100-year storm surge. But it's not, and then he, end quote, but it's not yet clear that all that will come at the same time as the bridge, he said. One team might propose doing it all at once, while another defers some of the work. John Cooper said from ALDOT, I don't know specifically what we need because I don't know what is going to be proposed by one or more of the groups. In general, we will need some form of participation from the federal government, which we expect to get. Okay? There we go. Interesting line there. We will need some form of participation from the federal government, which we expect to get. We will need a commitment from ALDOT at some level, which we expect to be able to fund. And obviously, it would be nice to have those things replaced with some form of additional funding from our standpoint. It's like there's so much in that paragraph, right? There's so much in that paragraph. And it's so you've got federal funding, which I guess they can argue is still there, but it's now 7%. And it says, we will need a commitment from ALDOT at some level, which we expect to be able to fund. And obviously, it would be nice to have those things replaced with some form of additional funding from our standpoint. Hmm. 2017. Tell you what, I am going to link this story up on my Twitter feed. You can check it out there. I want you all to read through this. This is a really good view from 2 years ago, what we were thinking was going to happen to now. Check it out. Link's going up at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter, and I'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I think that's the first time that I've ever seen that on our text line. Welcome back. It is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. I mean, I've done that personally with my phone, where I've had it in my pocket and it's been texting. This, you know, you look at your phone and there's like 15 lines of gobbledygook. We just got that on the FM Talk 106.5 text line. I like that. Like somebody has texted us and then put the phone in the pocket. They're walking around and just sending us random text. Very interesting. Also on the text line, Steve had sent several texts here about the question I was asking, the different companies involved. You heard that AL.com story from back in 2017. Now, I put that disclaimer on the Twitter feed. I'm telling you again because I don't want somebody to think it's a new story. Mm-hmm. I think it's very interesting. August 2017 to June 2019 and the discussion going on there. But he goes through and he says, group one, he said three groups shortlisted. So you heard me in the story say there were three groups they were going to pick from. Three groups shortlisted. Group one, I-10 Mobility Partners, equity members Cintra and Meridium, leading engineering firm Parson, lead contractor Ferrovial, Argoman, and Parsons, lead operations and maintenance Cintra and Meridium. And then to group two, Gulf Coast Connectors, equity members ACS, Macquarie, Hochtief, I guess, John Lang, lead engineering firm TY Lynn International, lead contractor Dragados, Lane Construction, and Flatiron, lead operations and maintenance, Gulf Coast Connectors, and then group three, the Mobile River Bridge Group, equity members, Infrared Capital Partners, Shakun and Benui, Astaldi and Southland Holdings, lead engineering firm, Fig Bridge Engineers, lead contractor, joint venture of Astaldi, Johnson Brothers, and Shakun and Benui, lead operations and maintenance, Infrared Capital Partners, Astaldi and Southland Holdings. Okay, so those were some of those names that went to that meeting back in August and of August of 2017, and now people that were vying for this. You were looking through some of these names and these partnerships and these financiers and builders, and you found an interesting story here. These are called what? These entities. We call them public-private partnerships
P3s.
P3.
And, you know, they're made up of these private companies, and they kind of all get together and invest in these, and then we pay them back over the course of however long the leases are. And, you know, it's not just physical infrastructure that they do with things like this. There's also public-private partnerships mm-hmm. for, like, high-speed internet cables, optic sure. cables being laid around the United States. Also,
sports stadiums, they do.
Yeah, sports stadiums, medicine, they'll work on pharmaceuticals and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But I noticed one of the names you mentioned there comes up in this New York Times article, and this was also written back in 2017, I think July of 2017, where they were writing about the new prevalence of all these P3 partnerships around the United States and mm-hmm. some of the things that have gone wrong, because this author describes that it's in its infancy in mm-hmm. the United States, these public-private partnerships. Well, one of those names, Macquarie, I guess mm-hmm. is how you pronounce it. That's an Australian investment bank who they say here is one of the biggest global funders of infrastructure projects. They've been involved in quite a few projects around the United States, but they write here in this article that one of the nation's best-known public-private partnerships back in 2006, when not many of these were going on, this happened in Indiana, where they made a deal with Macquarie and Cintra, which is a Spanish infrastructure firm.
Right, they're listed here, yeah.
And in Indiana, it was a $3.8 billion deal. They said the 75-year lease provided a big upfront cash payment for the state in return for the consortium's right to collect toll revenue. But the project to upgrade the antiquated 157-mile roadway ran into trouble as the consortium took on too much bank debt. Then ridership on the highway dropped during the Great Recession as fewer people were driving to and from work. Eventually, that investment consortium had to file for bankruptcy in 2015, 9 years after this deal was struck, and the state had already spent $3.8 billion agreed to, and then the new operator of the toll road continues to collect fees from drivers.
Oh, wow.
So I'm not sure if they sold off their rights or what exactly happened there. But
that project was $3.8 billion with a 75-year sunset.
That's right.
But then you have, what happens if you have a private consortium that's supposed to do maintenance or something going down the road and they go out of business? This is articles where?
New York Times. I'll post it to our Facebook page here in a minute.
All right, y'all check it out, and we'll talk about this again starting tomorrow morning at 6 for Mobile Mornings. Paul Feinbaum show on the way next, and of course, sports night tonight.
Yeah, we're going to be talking Auburn baseball.
Good deal. All right, y'all have a good one.